From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, presenting a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Genuine spiritual mourning for sin is the work of the Spirit of God. Repentance is too choice a flower to grow in nature's garden. Pearls grow naturally in oysters, but penitence never shows itself in sinners, except divine grace works it in them. If you have one particle of real hatred for sin, God must have given it to you, for human nature's thorns never produced a single fig. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. True repentance has a distinct reference to the Savior. When we repent of sin, we must have one eye upon sin and another upon the cross. Or it will be better still if we fix both our eyes upon Christ and see our transgressions only in the light of His love. True sorrow for sin is eminently practical. No man may say he hates sin if he lives in it. Repentance makes us see the evil of sin, not merely as a theory, but experimentally, as a burnt child dreads fire. We shall be as much afraid of it as a man who has been lately robbed and is afraid of the thief upon the highway. And we shall shun it in everything, not in great things only, but in little things, as men shun little vipers as well as great snakes. True mourning for sin will make us very jealous over our tongue, lest it should say a wrong word. We shall be very watchful over our daily actions, lest in anything we offend. And each night we shall close the day with painful confessions of shortcoming, and each morning awaken with anxious prayers that this day God would hold us up, that we may not sin against Him. Sincere repentance is continual. Believers repent until their dying day. This dropping well is not intermittent. Every other sorrow yields to time, but this dear sorrow grows with our growth, and it is so sweet a bitter that we thank God we are permitted to enjoy and to suffer it until we enter our eternal rest.
Christ becomes to hide us now.
One of the hallmarks of Protestant Christianity is its tradition of singing. Just as the worship in the Old Testament was characterized by song, so the people of God down through the ages have been a singing people. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a CD entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise that contains nearly an hour of the great hymns of the church performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, The Bible's First Lesson About the Spirit, part of a series of studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Cairns has pointed out how the person and work of the Spirit are revealed in the Scriptures. As he's been emphasizing, the Holy Spirit is recognized preeminently in His activity. The Spirit inspired the Holy Scriptures. He guides God's people in worship. It is the Spirit's work that draws men to Christ and applies the Savior's merits in the work of regeneration. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that brings true revival. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, the Bible's first lesson about the Spirit.
Let me tell you, in Bible worship, the preaching of Jesus Christ is absolutely central. And everything else must bow to this. That's why when you come here, you'll not very often get a 30 or 40 minute music program. The music in this church is always for one purpose. Well, two purposes. First of all, to glorify God. That's what we want to do. And secondly, to aid the preaching of the Word. When you get to a church where the music gets in the way of the preaching of the Word, it doesn't matter how good it sounds, it's time to get rid of the music and get back to the Word. You see, the Holy Spirit directs the worship. There's a big study that I'm only going to mention. If you look at Luke chapter 4, the Holy Spirit filled the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 14 and 18, you'll read of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Christ. The Holy Spirit in the mediation of Christ. Did you ever stop to think that when Christ was born, it was by the operation of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary? When Christ started out in His ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received the Spirit without measure. When He went to be tempted, He was led of the Spirit. When He did His miracles, He was empowered by the Spirit. He Himself said He did these by the Spirit of God. When he died, Hebrews 9:14, he offered himself by the eternal Spirit. When he rose again, it was by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit in the mediation of Christ. That's a very big study. And consequent upon that, you have the Spirit in applying the merits of Christ. You see, I don't want to try to be wise above measure here. But if Christ could only obtain redemption for us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Him, what makes people think that men can obtain that redemption in their own lives without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit alone can apply Christ. For instance, who can regenerate? Only the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel 36:27. You've got a promise of the regeneration which the Spirit gives, a new heart. In John 3:5, the Lord Jesus spoke of the new birth as being born of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, that new birth or that regeneration is called being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ. My friend, this is why I say in all our preaching, in all our witnessing, we need to be praying for the work of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is not just getting men to say the magic words of the sinner's prayer. Salvation is not just overcoming men with arguments in order to get them to make a decision. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit, whereby He makes dead men come to life, and He imparts to them all the merits of Jesus Christ, applying the precious blood for their redemption. The Holy Spirit in regeneration. He also works in sanctification, conforming us to the image of Christ. He also works in giving the Christian assurance and stamping him with security. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who convinced me I was a sinner. It's only the Holy Spirit who can convince me that I'm a saint. And my security, is it my hold on Christ? No, sir. It is His hold on me. And how do I know He's got the hold of me? Because I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. This is our security. The Holy Ghost operates then to make Christians holy. He makes Christians sure. He gives them help, their assistance and guidance. I love the words of Romans 8:26. He helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps us. There is assistance from the Spirit of God. There is empowerment from the Spirit of God. This comes out very clearly in the fact that He guides His people. Now, we don't want to be over mystical about this, but I want to tell you, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And when a Christian is found daily in the Word of God, with his heart submitted to the Word of God, with his mind and will open to the Word of God, and with his cry to God by His Spirit to minister Christ to his heart, then the Holy Spirit of God will minister Christ, and the Holy Spirit will guide a Christian. Beware of that strange kind of guidance that comes just like a funny feeling from nowhere. Beware of that strange kind of guidance that Christians so often talk about. Well, I feel that the Lord is leading me to do this, and I feel that the Lord is leading me to do the other thing. And they feel so many things that the Lord is neither part nor not of. Now, the Lord can direct your feelings and all the rest of it. But remember, the Spirit works through the Word. He works through the Word. Let's go to the book. Let's ask the Lord to guide us there. The Holy Spirit is also active in service. Here is something we will look at in rather more detail in days to come. The power of the Spirit in the Christian's life for service. In the book of Judges, again and again, you'll read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges 3 in verse 10, for instance, you've got Othniel, the first judge. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges 6, verse 34, you've got Gideon. And he's about to do a mighty work for God. How does he do it? He's the poorest in the tribe. He's just a poor, insignificant man. He can do nothing. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Does Acts chapter 1, verse 8 not say, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you? There is such a thing as power for service. There is such a thing as an endowment with the Holy Ghost, being filled with all the fullness of His power. And that is the great necessity in the service of Jesus Christ. The endowment of the Spirit's power. He's active there. And when the Spirit fills His people, then there's always the outworking of that. In demonstration, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, Paul said he came to Corinth in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Now let me be frank with you, and I trust the Lord will challenge your heart and challenge mine by this. We can talk all we like about the orthodox doctrine of the Holy Ghost. We can have it all off pat. But let me tell you, it's not going to convince anybody until there's a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Until the Holy Spirit starts to work. We need to see Him working in our city and right across this nation. We need to see Him working in our homes and in our family circles. We need to see Him working among hardened sinners. We need to see Him cause concern where now there's only utter indifference. We need to see the Holy Ghost smite man down under a burden of sin and raise them up in the joy of Christ's salvation. We need that. The demonstration. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, I tell you the Holy Spirit is also active in invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And when you're invited to Christ, and in your heart there is a pull to the Savior, remember, it is the Spirit of God who says, come. Come to Christ, therefore, in full assurance that the Spirit who calls will welcome you to the Lord. Now this is the activity of the Spirit. Some of these things you know are not for our day. Inspiration is finished. Creation in the physical realm is not for our day. Nehemiah 9 shows that it's finished. God is now upholding what He has created. But most of these things are for our day. We can see people regenerated. We can see Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. We can see churches carried along in the power of God. We can see a demonstration of God in our day. These things are for our day. Let's ask the Lord to do them. That leads me to finish in a few words with the third or the fourth and final main point of this text, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you see how the Spirit works, and this is just the pattern. We'll work it out in detail in the weeks to come. He moved when there was chaos. And out of chaos, He brought perfect order. That's how the Spirit moves. He did that in creation. That's what He does in regeneration. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's bringing order out of chaos. If you want a wonderfully vivid description of this, you should study in Galatians 5. In verse 19, you have the works of the flesh, and they are manifest. And what a list of foul things you have attributed to the flesh. That's the chaos of sin. But then verse 22, you've got the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, etc. Out of chaos, he brings order. I want to tell you, my friend, that's what the Holy Ghost can do for you as he applies the blood of Christ to your heart. If you're in this meeting this morning and your life's in chaos because of sin, the Holy Spirit can bring you to a Savior who will make you every whit whole. And then finally, this is what he does in revival. Is revival possible? Well, does the Bible ever tell us that it's not possible? I believe that we make so many excuses. We're in the last days and all the rest of it. Let's make no excuse. In Isaiah 32, 14 and 15, you'll find there's chaos until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. That's what's happening today. In Ezekiel 37, you've got a picture, it's a prophecy of Israel, I know, but it's also a picture and a parable. The Valley of Dry Bones. That's chaos. But God brings them together and he says, prophecy to the wind, prophecy to the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon them, then they come together bone to bone and they stand on their feet a great army. And God breathes into them his life. That's what he does in revival. From chaos, he brings perfect order. This then is the first lesson in the Bible of the person and of the activity of the Holy Spirit. As we proceed through the scriptures in the weeks to come, as the Lord wills, you'll find that every one of these things is taken and it's elaborated upon and it's filled out to its fullness. We have seen them in the seedbed, as it were, today. We know that the Holy Spirit is God. He's divine. He is eternal. He is still, therefore, the same today as ever he was before. He is sovereign. Therefore, the hardness of the days and the opposition of the devil cannot stand in his way. He is sovereign and irresistible in his power. And he is active. The Holy Ghost is active. His power, the same today as ever it was before. Let's ask the Lord, therefore, to visit us with the demonstration of the Spirit in his power.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.